Hey, everybody. This is Nick Fishman, hosting the SJV Data Solutions Hangout podcast. And today I'm joined by SJV Vice President of Client Experience, Vince Brote. And today, our special guest, Barton Taylor, the CEO of TazWorks. We've been getting a lot of perspectives from CRAs over the last several weeks and really months at this point, and also been talking with a lot of industry consultants on the impact of COVID. And we thought we would switch things around a little bit. And instead of just talking with those folks, you know, Barton, you know the space as well as anybody does. And we thought, you know, given the fact that you have a platform, you absolutely have an interesting take on this that, frankly, we just haven't addressed. So we think our listeners will really enjoy that. Before we get going, just, you know, wanted to remind everybody, we're kind of all doing this on the fly from our houses. So kind of no frills, just honest conversation and helpful insight. So Barton, thank you again. We really appreciate you joining.
Oh, thank you, Nick.
Yeah, thanks for attending this one, man. We've been looking forward to having this one for a good bit. So, happy to have you.
Thank you, Vince.
So, most people do know who TazWorks is, Barton, but for those who don't, can you tell us a little bit about the platform?
Yeah, so we're a background check platform. It's generally good for most all industries, all verticals, and We started off in 2002 because I saw a distinct need for a platform that could help people get in the business and compete.
Yeah, and when you talk about a platform, we're talking about a platform for CRAs to be able to utilize to then sell these
services. Correct, a white label platform for CRAs to use for their users.
And really, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've got CRAs, you've got tenant screening firms, you have a pretty wide range of people, like you said, who are using that platform, right?
Volunteer, tenant screening, employment background checks, business entity searches, you know, all kinds of stuff, identity stuff.
And Barton, it sounds like you're being a little bit bashful here, so let me help you toot your horn. When the last time we took a look at things, it looks like of the CRAs that actually use a third-party platform, you've got nearly 75% penetration within those CRAs.
What's the secret, Barton? We've got to know.
Well, just because I've been a CRA, I just kind of have that perspective of knowing what they need and want, and, you know, and can really hone in on the really simple, what does the system need to do? It really needs to do some very simple things, and we've kept it that way to make it easy to use and people don't mind placing orders on it and stuff.
Yep. Okay. All right. So let's just jump into some of the questions. You know, you have a unique point of view, you know, since the whole COVID pandemic started. What have you been kind of hearing and observing from your CRAs over the last 100
days? Well, I think we're all pretty scared right there in the beginning. We've never experienced anything quite like this, have we?
No. And anybody that says that they, you know, they've had experiences where maybe they see a little bit of this in each one of those experiences, but nothing like this.
Yeah, I think we all got really, really scared right off. And it was amazing how fast we dipped. Our CRA started to dip their volume. We saw it go all the way down to 49% of last year. And now it's and then it slowly it bottomed out for a few weeks, and it's on the way back. It's marching right back up. We expect to exceed last year's numbers and be setting new records in July, and we're only 10% from down now.
That is incredible. Now, let me ask you to dig a little bit further into that. Do you think that the July spike that you're anticipating, and by the way, I'm sure everybody's thrilled to hear it, do you anticipate that that spike is from orders that have piled up over the last couple of months, or do you think we're just getting back to kind of crazy hiring again?
I think we're getting back to hiring, but more than that, think about all the people who are displaced in their employment. There's that whole backlog of people who need to be replaced. That's what's going on, I believe, partly market share. Our clients seem to be gaining. We have tremendous organic growth amongst our CRAs.
Oh, that's great. I think that's good news for everybody in the industry. Tell me, what are some of the key statistics that you guys have been monitoring to kind of complete the
picture? Right after this happened, we started, you know, searches equal volume, right?
Yeah.
You're going to equal ultimately revenue. And so right away, we started comparing the day of the same equivalent day of last year to today and the year before and the year before that. So we're following the trend line of this year, last year, and the year before that compared to today. And we get a report every single day on that.
Mm-hmm. And it's all about volume, I would assume, correct?
Yeah. And we track that also by industry types. It's very interesting to note tenant screening did not get impacted as much as employment screening. In fact, it's already setting new records. Mm-hmm. And so is lending. And the one probably has been devastated the most that I don't think recovered as much as volunteer screening, like, you know, youth leagues and things.
Yeah. Yep. And when we talk about volume, obviously you can take a look at the, you know, the number of requests that you get coming over, but there's also a whole bunch of components of any given order that come in. Are you noticing that the components are as big as they had been, or is that slowed down?
No, I have the stats on that. It's almost exactly the same. That has not changed.
Wow.
You know, one thing to think about, I was thinking too, is, you know, everyone's business dipping so quickly and recovery happening. Were you guys as TazWorks getting, you know, unique or different requests from all of your users because of COVID? You know, we need this thing to help us recover. Or was that stuff you guys were really already committed to doing anyway as part of the, you know, the online?
That's another interesting, very interesting question. We already had a pipeline, obviously, of development work, and we never even skipped the beat. We seamlessly transitioned to being online overnight. I mean, on a Wednesday after NBA all happened, we were planning on having a little Wednesday test of, we were just going to test if we go virtual. Instead, on Monday, we said, hey, we're virtual, and we went virtual, and that was that. And there were maybe three people we had to go get some hardware for. We were overnight virtual, just seamlessly.
You know, it's funny. Everybody in the industry talks about, you know, BCP and being prepared and having policies. Some have good ones. Some don't have good ones. Some don't even have one. It was interesting to see how these things actually worked when you put them to use.
And I think we were lucky in that we had some practice and that our roots were a virtual company. Plus we had lots of flex hours for people. So there's quite a few people who work from home already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you guys back to the office yet at all in any capacity? Or
No, we actually, that's another thing that's very interesting about us is that we just happened to have our lease expired last month and we did not renew. It was just about time for signing when this all hit. We are virtual and we're not paying for it anymore either until we decide how and when to come back to work.
Wow.
And so when we come back to work, we're concerned about some of these written policies we need to have about people, how you screen for safety when they come in, what happens if somebody catches it, and how do you track that. And so we're going to wait for this so we can really make a good, comprehensive decision on what's the space going to look like in the future for us. Because there's some things that have been blown out the water. Like we thought, hey, shared spaces, we can rent lease less space. We can have these shared cubicles. Now the common thing, the wisdom is, hey, you cannot have a shared space. You got to keep people distant and clean from each other.
Yeah. And I think, you know, obviously you're not the only business that struggles with that. I think it's actually a stroke of luck that you ended up having your lease up at the time that you did. Because I know so many people that are saddled with a massive lease right now, whether they're in the cities or not. And frankly, they don't know if they're ever going to need that amount of space left. They don't know if they're ever going to get back to needing that amount of space.
Yep. That's where it gets kind of interesting because you need more space in order to distance people, in order to have a dedicated desk to them and stuff now too. So that's where it gets really interesting. I don't understand how it's going to all play out. It'll be really kind of a fun time to experience that and look at it in the past, I guess. Not fun now, but fun later.
Hey, Barton, curious to know if you guys did I hate to call it experimentation, but were there things that you tested during COVID to see if they would gain traction with your customers that you just threw out there, whether they were successful or not?
You know, other than maybe marketing played around a little bit, there's really no, the only thing we did was we came up with some really quick, how can we add some, that's one thing we had to change on our product roadmap was, we quickly threw in some things just to get some value out there to people, some new value adds. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's, that's the thing I want to say is that we have never even skipped a beat on the number of releases we do a day or anything.
That's great.
Pretty strong. You know, one of the things that I always loved about coming into the spring or this time of year, May just passed us, is the TazWorks user group meeting. It's like one of my favorite shows to attend. And I think I was there as a rookie sales rep long time ago. There was, you know, 20 people in a room at the Stein Erickson Lodge or something, but it got canceled this year. But over the last couple of years, that's been a really good kept secret. It's been a huge show. I think you had more people there last year than attended the then NAPBS mid-year conference, which is saying a lot. So were you guys sad to see that canceled? And what were your...
Of course we were. But in the same time, at this time, we were so scared at first. Well, how is things going to play out? We're also happy we were able to save that money in some ways. But as far as our leads that we're able to develop out of that, the relationships we're able to develop out of that, the collaboration with our users and our vendors that we're able to do in that setting cannot be duplicated. And we're not, I don't even, marketing would still love to try to have an online, you know, version of it, but you can't duplicate that experience online. I'm sorry, you just can't.
No, I agree with you. I think that, you know, yes, you can learn online, but there's nothing that replicates being with your colleagues and being with friends and people that you trust. There's no way of replacing that.
Yep.
What do you think is kind of the secret behind that that conference being so collaborative, interactive? Is it just TazWorks' culture? Is it the way you guys set up?
Having been a vendor in our past, having been a CRA in my past, having been a vendor in my past, I have this unique perspective of how you can make everybody come together to have a good time, to have a good collaborative time together, and what's important for our vendors to be have a successful experience there as well as our users, and be able to really play to that. That's what we try very hard to do, and we have, as a result, we have been successful. We're trying to do it, and we're succeeding at doing it. So,
yeah, it is a good time. And people who are listening, who maybe don't go, it's in Salt Lake City, and don't be fooled. People in Salt Lake City know how to party. They know how to get down. And Barton's the ringleader, so it's always a good time. Yeah, you mentioned the virtual environment. I think PBSA is virtual this fall. What do you guys think is going to be? That's going to be like.
I just don't know how it can be pulled off. It's going to be so difficult. It's just going to be a hard thing to do.
I think they're going to.
On ours, we might have a 1 hour or something, just to kind of like more like our traditional annual report, sort of speak, kind of a Trump. Blow our horn, toot our horn session, but just something quick and easy. I don't know how you can have that much time together online and so many people get on mute and the feedback from the speaker, you feel like you're talking to a blank silent computer and you just can't get that energy you get from being there in person.
Yeah, I think some of the educational sessions might be pretty good. I mean, everyone's going to flock to the usual ones they go to. Hello, Pam. But for others, it could be tough. You need that feedback loop to know if you're hitting the right mark.
Me personally, I can't do it. I just cannot do that.
And I was just going to ask you to co-present on one of them with me.
That's not going to work, Barton. Right now I'm being okay because I can watch you and Nick smile and have expressions, right? In a small group, it feels like just you and I talking. But yeah. When you get in a big group setting like that and everybody's on mute and there's no everybody's afraid to unmute themselves and they forget or even click fast enough to say something impromptu and by the time they do, the timing is passed. Yeah. They just don't float. I'm sorry, they don't
float. Yeah. It's tough. But I do think, like, yeah, we can all see each other. Of course, the people that are listening to this, hi, Mom,
hi to my mom, too, which is Nick's typos.
That's right. That's right. I have not had it. I have not yet had a typo on this podcast. anyways, what I was going to say is we can see each other. Obviously, the people on the other end can't. And, you know, that's tough. I think that, you know, more of these virtual, like, and I'm to the point, by the way, where I can't take another Zoom meeting. But I do think that once we get away from this becoming a way of life every day, all day, this is a better way of replicating, you know, human interaction than just talking over the phone.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Barton, before we let you go, question for you on kind of the long-term industry changes you think will come about as a result of the pandemic. Do you think things are just going to go back to like they were, or do you think that we're going to see some changes come about?
That's kind of worrisome to me as far as like, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, they say they're going to come out with a vaccine. Then the vaccine might not work for very long, just like the flu. You have to have one every year, or maybe quick. I've heard that those antigens that people develop when they get it are wearing off in just a couple of months. And so that means that there's going to be a lot of fun for years to come, possibly, or maybe this will be the year we develop a vaccine and we get rid of it. But I think we got one more flu season of hardship. Myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you seeing any other innovations in the space that you think are interesting or noteworthy products?
Yeah, there's some people who are coming up with all kinds of ideas on how to solve the back to work issues. And those all have to do with health records. And so they don't really blend very well with background checks. You have to put them on a different system, so to speak, or a different login, different kind of have it kind of boxed away from the background check. So it's kind of difficult to do, but there are some things I can't really talk about from NDAs, but there are some interesting things going on out there.
I was going to try to pressure you. I was going to pressure you into, I was like, Spartan, are you integrating anything like that? I figured you weren't going to take the bait.
So that was a great segue for us, Barton. Thank you for now allowing us to say that our next podcast will actually be on that very topic.
Okay, well.
Yeah, we've got some pretty exciting stuff on that front too. I think it's all in the spirit of trying to help to get everybody back to work. That's what it's all about. And I think that people maybe from the outside in don't know that's what this industry has always been about. Trying to get, you know, the best decision made for the people who are going into the right positions or roles or apartments or benefits or whatever it is. So you guys have been a huge part of that for many, many years, obviously, on TazWorks.
Thank you. SJV is one of the greatest data partners that is out there, right?
Yes. And if you give me your address, the check is in the mail for that plug. I appreciate
that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Barton, thank you very much for joining us. We're, you know, you're a great partner to SJV. You guys are doing so much in the industry, and I just can't tell you how much we respect how you've built your company and what you do for the CRA industry.
Well, thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, guys. We're going to call it a wrap. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you.
And if you're interested in learning more about SJV, feel free to hit us up at www.sjvdata.com. Thanks and have a great day.